welcome to Big Fat Positive with Shauna and Laura. On this week's episode, we have our weekly check-ins. We have our special segment called Internet Insanity, where things get ghostly. And we wrap it up with our weekly BFPs and BFNs. Let's get to it. Hi, welcome to the show. It's episode 54. Laura, what's your check-in? We're dying to know.
Hey there. So it's week 22 for us. And do you remember how last week I lamented about the fact that demolition was starting in our backyard this week? Well, there is a silver lining, which is demolition has started. And they are literally jackhammering, you know, it's what, 20 feet from my baby's nursery wall?
Oh my God.
Which, and the
what
wall
time?
Is like a
what
double
time
door.
Of day?
Oh, starting at 7 a.m. Which, to be fair, he's never asleep after 7 a.m., but he is trying to nap later. And they're jackhammering because they have to take the entire foundation out. But anyway, the good news is that my mom came into town and she couldn't book the Airbnb that she usually books across the street. So she ended up splurging and getting a hotel room at the Langham in Pasadena.
Ooh,
which is this like
nice.
Super fancy, very old school hotel. And she put my name on the room, too. And so we basically had a staycation this week.
Oh, my gosh. All week?
All week. So she was there all week. And if you remember, like, the Monday, Tuesday, like, what was it? Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday was, like, crazy hot. Like, in the 110s. So we got to go to by the pool. We got to, like, go into her air-conditioned king-size bedroom and, like, cuddle up under the sheets and, like, my baby like took a nap while we were awake, just making sure he safely took a nap while we watched him. And it was kind of awesome. Like at first I was a little disappointed because I thought, oh, you know, I would love to like have time at the house so I could like get stuff done while she watched the baby. And I'm still,
true.
You know, there's always stuff that needs to be done. But once I embraced the fact that, you know, we were on staycation basically, I was so into it. It was just like every morning we just woke up and drove over to the Langham. It's like a 5-minute drive.
Yeah.
Went and sat by the pool. It was awesome. It was so luxurious. So that was exciting. And it was nice because you got to come home and sleep in your own bed. Not that I mean.
Right. I was going to say, did you guys like crash in this king bed with your mom and the baby and everything?
But not at night. You came home. No. And my stepdad was there for a couple nights and then he left and then it was just my mom. No, we came home to sleep. So, and he got to sleep in his crib, which he's been doing really well. Mm-hmm. He's only waking up once per night. So, yeah, it's just kind of been a win-win. So I have to say, we did high tea.
What?
Which, I mean, he didn't have anything from the high tea, but he really actually enjoyed it. He was a really good boy. Like, he didn't make any noise or anything. He was just laughing. He was, like, sitting on the plush couch being all, like, prim and proper.
Oh, that's very British. Yes.
Yeah.
Good
and
for him.
We swam at the pool. So I have a lot. I took a whole lot of photos of him in the king-size bed because it was adorable. I think I sent you some of those. But I will definitely have them on our Instagram at BFP Podcast because it's ridiculous, a little 5-month-old baby in a big plush king-size bed. But it's really cute.
Yes, a tiny baby in a king bed is just a great visual.
It really is. So anyway, so demo's going on. I had a staycation. And otherwise, I mean, it's pretty smooth sailing around here.
Good.
Oh, and the other thing I was going to say is that we are starting to think about doing sleep training.
Okay, good.
And Corey wants to do it right away, but I had to tell him, like, we had to wait till my mom left town. Because she watched the baby one or two nights. I mean, depending on what counts as watching the baby, but was around for bedtime. And I know that she would not have been able to handle like the pop-ins and the letting him cry for 5 and then 10 and then 15 minutes, like she would not.
And
have
the consistency is key for that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that's what they say.
You want to have a good stretch of time that you can do it and you learn the routine. And it's not easy to like have someone else learn that routine and like pass it off to them and endure the crying. So I think that's a really good decision.
So next week we're going to be embarking on that. But for now, you know, he's been sleeping fairly well for not having training. And
do you have a plan of like which method you're going to follow?
Yeah, so we're going to go with the taking care of babies method. I talked about taking care of babies. That's taking C-A-R-A babies because the woman's name is Kara. like always needs explanation. We use your method for newborns and then for months 3 and 4. So she has a course that's for 5 to 24 months. So I just went with that. I just decided to buy that course and stick with it. Because like you said, consistency is key. And I think for me, I just wanted one way. You know what I mean? Yes. Like I could have gone online and cobbled together a bunch of different methods. But I think for me, that would have made me waffle. Because I would have said, well, one site says 5 minutes and one site says 10 minutes. So I would probably like do 10 minutes one night and 5 minutes the other night and really like mm-hmm. screw up the consistency. So I enjoy just having like, this is the road map, you know, and we're going to get it done. Also, the nice thing about her course is that you get these videos. So she gives you a whole booklet where you can just read about it, but she also has video courses. So
oh, nice.
It's so much easier to watch those. And especially
is it just a video of a baby screaming for 10 minutes?
Yeah, it's fun.
Just to get you used to it.
Yeah. It's just desensitize you. No, it's actually, it's a lot of videos. They're about, you know, 10 to 15 minutes each, so you can really take them bit by bit, and you can watch them with your partner, which is part of the reason I wanted to do it. Because Corey is working, and he's helping me take care of the baby, and I think it was a lot to ask him to, like, finish, you know, basically a book and then retain it. So mm-hmm. videos are a lot easier. We just watched it over a couple nights this week, and yeah, we're ready to go, I think.
All right.
So yeah, that's...
May the force be with you.
Thank you. So what's going on with you this week?
My baby is 26 weeks old, and she just had her six-month checkup at the doctor. So that's our big thing. She's a whopping 6 months old now.
Oh, baby.
I know.
It's going to be big.
And she really showed off at this appointment.
What'd
she
do? She
knew it was her time to shine. She, like, did her little planks for the doctor.
Nice.
And he was like, whoa, I've never seen a baby that young do that. And I was like, what? I'm like, well, Al did that. And he's like, I never saw her do that. Really? And I was like, yeah. And she's like, she's really strong. Her gross motor skills are fantastic. Like, you watched her sit up and hold herself in a sitting position for a while.
Awesome.
And rolling over and everything. So he was really impressed with that. And he was really impressed. He touched, like, something out of the corner of her eye, and she mm-hmm. immediately was like, zing, what's that? Like, looked over and checked it out. So she was noticing everything going on around her. So I was a very proud mama.
Here's a question. Did they have her, like, sitting on top of the exam table and rolling and stuff? Or, like, was she on the ground?
No, she was on the exam table, and it's, you know, it's up against a wall, so there's a wall on one side, and she's just doing her own thing. He's not encouraging anything.
She really was showing off.
For all he could care, she could just, like, lay on her back, and he checks her butt and her tummy and whatever he does. But I mentioned last week, she does not like to lay still or sit still for anything. Mm-hmm. I can't change her diaper or her clothes without her going all over the place. So, of course, she's just like, rolls over, boom, bumps up to her plank, is just, like, straight body, tight abs, like, boom, look at me, doctor. And he noticed. He was very impressed. Some other fun little details. She weighs 16 pounds now.
Aww.
And she's 25 and a half inches, and she's in the 50th percentile. So
right,
I feel good about that.
That's good. Yeah.
Because in the beginning, it was a rough start for us.
That's right.
If you remember, we had some troubles breastfeeding, and she didn't gain weight for several weeks. And I was very stressed out about it. And she was kind of going down in the percentiles. So she's caught up, and she's doing awesome. So that's good. And then some little things he was, like, telling me about, you know, what we can do now that she's 6 months. He's like, now she can go into pools. And I was like, I didn't know she couldn't until this point.
I brought my baby into pools. Did he say why?
No. And I didn't question, because I was like, oh, I definitely brought Elle into a pool when she was, I think, like 3 and a half months old. It didn't even cross my mind that that was a thing. But he's like, she can go in pools and use sunscreen now and get her some sunglasses. So we had our first pool outing. I hadn't had the opportunity to bring her into a pool until this point. And like you said, it was really hot.
It was the last really hot. Yeah.
Really, really hot. So we went to this pool called Hanson Dam. Do you know about this pool?
No, not at all.
Yeah, it's part of the LA Public, like, Parks and Rec system. And it's up, it's kind of like in between me and you. It's up in, like, the Sylmar area. Anyway, it's a public pool, and it's surrounded by sand. And it's got, like, a big slide, and it's kind of cool, like, a little bit of, like, beach vibe with the sand and, like, the pool. You can walk in, like, as if you're walking into the ocean. So it's great for kids and babies, and it's pretty shallow.
That's awesome.
So, Yeah. So if you live in LA, check out Hanson Dam. Anyway, she was really cute in her little frilly pink bathing suit and her sunglasses, which of course she does not keep on her face for 1 second. But I tried. Yeah. So all in all, things are going well for us too. It's just like a nice check-in. She's been really happy and just giggly and very happy lately, so I'm feeling good.
That's awesome. Sounds like yeah. You guys are smooth sailing.
Smooth sailing. That's the theme of this week.
Yeah.
In the heat. Yes, exactly. But yeah, so should we move on to our special segment?
Let's do it.
Laura, we recently had our moms on the show, and it was so fun hearing their stories from the past.
I loved hearing what they had to share about their experiences being pregnant and having young kids. But you know they have so many more amazing memories and stories to share.
Yes, and that's why StoryWorth is such a wonderful gift for the mother figure in your life. It's a way to capture those stories and memories for years to come.
And what better time to give StoryWorth than for Mother's Day, which is right around the corner. Right now, our listeners can save $10 off your first purchase by going to StoryWorth.com/BFP.
Here's how it works. Each week, StoryWorth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick, such as, what is your favorite memory of your parents?
All your loved one needs to do is respond to that email with a story. Long or short, it doesn't matter.
You'll be emailed a copy of your loved one's response as they're submitted over the course of the year. You'll get to enjoy their retelling of the stories you already know or be surprised by stories you've never heard before.
After that year of fun, StoryWorth compiles your loved one's stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book that you'll be able to share and revisit for generations to come.
I gifted StoryWorth to my mom a couple years ago, and her hardcover book is a special memento on my bookshelf that my girls and I love to look through.
My mom did one too and included lots of pictures from her childhood, which Sebastian and Augie love looking at.
Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years. StoryWorth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to StoryWorth.com/BFP.
That's StoryWorth.com/BFP to save $10 on your first purchase. There's nothing like the feeling of being confident in your own skin. No complicated routine, no multiple step protocols, just simple, scientifically validated solutions.
Absolutely. That's why we have to tell you about today's sponsor, OneSkin. Their products make it easy to keep your skin healthy while looking and feeling your best.
The secret to OneSkin's success is their proprietary OS1 peptide, which switches off the aging cells and has been clinically proven to strengthen the skin barrier and improve skin health markers.
For a limited time, our listeners will get an exclusive 15% off OneSkin products using the code BFP when you check out at OneSkin.co.
One of my favorite things about OneSkin products is how easy they are to use. I swear, I've seen skin routines with like 20 steps, but not OneSkin. Just cleanse, pat your skin dry, and apply twice daily.
We aren't the only ones who love OneSkin. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews, and were recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands in 2024.
OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer.
My skin tends to get really irritated this time of year, but since using the OneSkin face supplement every day, my skin feels calm and healthy. I've also been using the eye topical supplement, which I really feel brightens up my face.
Get started today with 15% off using code BFP at oneskin.co.
That's 15% off oneskin.co with code BFP. After your purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you.
Okay, I will be the first to admit that I don't always prioritize my own wellness. With kids and work, it never feels easy to fit in taking care of myself. But with Allo Moves, I find it easier than ever to do so.
Same. With the Allo Moves app, everything I need is in one place. Yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, mindfulness, and so much more.
If you're curious what Allo Moves has to offer, visit allomoves.com and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and 20% off an annual membership.
I love that I can easily find a class that's perfectly suited to my interests and ability level. They offer classes from beginner to advanced, and all classes are on demand, so you can fit them into your busy schedule.
They have high-intensity classes if you're looking to get in a good sweat, and low-key mindfulness classes if you're looking to get centered. They even offer help with sleep, which we all know is crucial for moms.
Ever since I watched The Art of Sleep on Allo Moves, I've been falling asleep faster and staying asleep longer.
One thing I really like about Allo Moves is that they create themed playlists, so it's easy to find content on the areas you're interested in. One of my favorite playlists right now is called Meditation for Productivity.
Ooh, I love the sound of that one. Unlock your personal wellness routine with Allo Moves. Go to allomoves.com now and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership.
That's allomoves.com, code BFP. allomoves.com, code BFP. And we're back. Our special segment this week is Internet Insanity, where we talk about the crazy things we've found on the internet that are related to pregnancy and parenting. Shauna, what have you found on the internet lately that is crazy?
I found a great video / article that is titled, Baby Was Scratched by Ghost Caught on Camera. And I just love this on so many levels. So this was back in March. The ghost was caught on the video monitor, like the baby's monitor. And they have a video of it. And you can kind of see like the baby is, you see a pack and play, right? Okay. And you see kind of a shady ghostly figure pass by the camera. And then the baby pops up, like stands up as if watching the ghost waft by. And that enough is creepy and crazy. But then the parents say that the ghost injured the baby by scratching its face.
What?
Yeah, the baby got scratches on its face.
Like what? Do there are pictures of the scratches?
Yeah, it looks like the baby's face got scratched by, I don't know, like an animal or something.
Really? Not like little baby fingernails that haven't been trimmed lately?
That is so very likely. That really is. It could be. It could be. I'm all about debunking this stuff, but I'm also all about kind of believing it because it's kind of fun and crazy. And I don't know. Do we live in a world where ghosts can pass by baby monitors and we can catch that stuff? I don't know.
You know, I'm a fan of ghost movies, you know, Poltergeist and The Shining. The Shining's a ghost movie. There's lots of ghosts in that movie, right? Yeah, of course. Mm-hmm. And, you know.
Red Rum.
Exactly. But I have to say that my joy at the idea of ghosts kind of stops when I think about one being in my baby's nursery when I'm not around. I feel like ghosts need to have boundaries. You know?
They do, but they just always seem to want to be up in everyone's business.
Right?
Yes. This mom in one of my Facebook groups posted something recently where she caught a very ghost, like human-looking ghostly figure. And I mean, it's just wild. It's like, stay away. Anyway, so one other aspect of this article, they had a paranormal team come in and assess the situation and assess the video. And they said that what it was is a person had died by suicide in this room.
Great.
By jumping out the window.
Cool.
And then they cut to a picture of the exterior of the house, and the room is on the first floor. The window's like 3 feet off the ground. It's like, what is going on? What is going on?
Oh, well, I'm a ghost now because you just killed me with that story.
Well, maybe Corey will pick you up on the video monitor.
Oh, my God.
So, I don't know. I'm a little freaked out to, you know, watch my baby's monitor. I've never seen anything weird, and I've been using baby monitors for 3.5 years now.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen anything weird?
Well, I have to say that, like, if a mote of dust, by the way, I'm just happy that I got to use the term mote of dust.
It's a great phrase.
Floats sort of at just the right distance from your camera, it can look pretty ghostly.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen anything creepy on my baby monitor. I'm very happy about that. I have to say, this will probably come as a surprise to most listeners because, as you know, I'm very, you know, evidence-oriented and pro-science, but I have an open mind about the ghost stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I actually have had some weird experiences in my life that are completely unexplained, and I can't I like literally can't explain them. I don't know if it's because there was someone who died in the house that I grew up in and they were haunting it, or if there's some, you know, glitch in the space-time continuum, or if, you know, they're just like weird electrical pulses or what. But there was stuff going on in the house I grew up in that I can't explain. So
gives me the shivers. That sounds like a story for now or another day.
There's a lot of stories. I'll tell you the one that's the most impossible for me to explain, because okay. I was wide awake and I was older. So this house I grew up in, it was this big old for Fresno house. Like, it was this house that had actually been built on a separate location and then like cut in half and moved to another location in Fresno. Mm-hmm. I don't really know why. And the lore of it was that when my parents bought it, a woman drove by, backed her car up, rolled down her window and said, "You just bought this house, didn't you?" And my mom was like, "Yeah." And she was like, "I'm a psychic. Your house is glowing. You'll be happy as long as you live in that house."
And oh, we're like, well, that's good.
Yeah, it wasn't also like completely true, because my parents were very unhappy and got a divorce eventually. But that was the lore, right? So maybe I was primed. But there were all these things, and people would see things and see people where there weren't people. And that's like a whole long story. But the one that I really, really, really have no idea why this happened was, I went into the bathroom that was under the stairs, which already is kind of creepy, right, in this house. And I was 13. This was right before my dad actually sold the house after my parents had gotten a divorce. Mm-hmm. And I went into the bathroom and I noticed there was a toothbrush in one of those like built-in toothbrush holders in the wall. And I was like, that's weird. I'd never seen a toothbrush. And for whatever reason, I went over to try to like pick it up and look at it, trying to figure out whose toothbrush it was. And it was stuck in the holder, like completely stuck. It was like a ceramic holder that was screwed into the wall, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And I couldn't get it out. So I was like, okay, weird, whatever, fine. So like I go and I sit on the toilet, and just as I start to pee, the toothbrush flies out of the holder, hits the wall, and falls to the ground.
What? Oh my God, I just got chills.
I literally said out loud, "I get it, I'll leave." And I like flushed and left.
I love your pragmatic response to this ghost antics.
Well, I'm just like, what am I supposed to do? I was looking at it like, what the fuck just happened? Like, the closest thing that I've come up to like trying to explain it away is that like the rubber on the handle of the toothbrush was building up pressure, and my like messing with it like was about to release it, but it flew 5 feet.
5 feet?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, like, and like launched with power against the wall. It was weird. It was weird as hell. So anyway, that's...
And it was a toothbrush you'd never seen before?
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, when I was 13, I wasn't exactly paying attention to all the toothbrushes in the house.
okay, true.
But it was also a bathroom that people didn't really use, except for, like, it was sort of the, what would they call it on HGTV? Like, the powder room, right?
You like a half brushing bath?
Yeah. There was a shower, so it was like a three quarters, but it wasn't... It was on the ground floor, away from all the bedrooms. So I didn't know, like, who the hell is brushing their teeth in there? It was probably my dad. I mean, mm-hmm. I don't think the toothbrush was a ghost. I just want to make that clear. The toothbrush was material in this world, but it flew, and I witnessed it, and I wasn't on drugs, and I was old enough to know better. I wasn't, like, half asleep. So yeah. I don't know. I have lots more stories that we can talk about separately. But the point is that skeptical science Laura thinks that it's maybe a thing. And I have all these like science-based theories of like what quote unquote ghosts might actually be. Like, I actually don't necessarily think they're like the dead people who are coming back because they had a bad life and they want to haunt us. You know, like, I'm like, is it a, you know, a fold in the space-time continuum where, you know, we're seeing other dimensions, or I don't know. I have lots of other theories, which I don't think that this is a ghost theory podcast, so maybe I'll stop.
It's not, but it really is so fascinating. And I will say, I've never seen anything weird on my baby monitor, but I have always had a weird feeling about my baby's nursery. Like,
really?
When we first moved in, it was kind of just a like, it was like a storage area, and like it just started, like it smelled bad in there, and I always hated going in there. I got a really bad vibe. And really? She cries when I even start walking toward her room. Like, I know she's like a fussy baby, but sometimes I'm like, why are you so resistant into going to your room? Like, I'll just start walk down the hallway and she like is like, no, and gets so upset. Even if it's not nap time, not anything. It's just she hates it. So I kind of want a paranormal team to come in and assess my situation.
But would it make you feel better if they're like, yep, your hunch is right. Definitely a ghost in your baby's room.
Who died by jumping out of your one-story window.
They died. They died by falling 1 foot.
Yeah. You know, feet. I don't know. It might just give me some impetus to move. Who knows? I'm just a curious person.
You want
person.
An excuse to move so you can have a master bathroom.
Oh, yes. You figured me out. Oh my God, it all comes down to that. Oh, my goodness. Anyway, so that's my insanity. What is yours? I'm dying to know.
Ooh, okay, there's no ghosts in this one. So, okay. My internet insanity is a little bit of a gripe water. It's a different segment we do, but this is just driving me bonkers online, and I just have to share.
Ooh.
So I use Facebook probably more than I should. Like, I spend probably too much time on Facebook, but when you're nursing, like, sometimes it's just boring as shit when you're nursing. Like, I know Janet Lansbury says we're supposed to be, like, making eye contact and savoring every moment, but sometimes you're just exhausted and the baby's like, you know, I don't know about your baby, but my baby like massages my boobs, but you know, like he's like moving them around and like, and I'm just like, I just want to look at something else. So I'm on Facebook and I've joined all these closed groups, partially as research for the podcast, partially as, you know, research for me. And so it becomes this thing where like you're in one group and then someone like adds you to another group and then someone, these are all mommy groups. Just to be clear. And then they'll recommend another group in a comment. So you're like, okay, I'm going to join that group. So I'm in a lot of mommy groups. I'm in some that I find really helpful, like one for alumni from my college. It's actually, it's a small group, which is nice. I think that's key for a Facebook group. Really helpful. I'm one for people who use Owlets, the monitor that I use to monitor his heart rate and oxygen. And that's been helpful to figure out like sizing issues and glitches and stuff like that. But there are two groups I'm in and they are polar opposites and they are both driving me up the wall. I need to talk about it. One group. Oh, and by the way, I'm keeping these groups, you know, fairly anonymous because they're closed groups. And part of the deal is you don't talk about what goes on in the group. So, you know, everything is going to be generalized. I'm not breaking any rules and I'm not going to name the exact groups. But I'll say that one group is supporting bed sharing. So it's all about they think that it's normal for babies to bed share and all this like back to sleep and sleeping in your own crib is actually against what's normal for babies historically, evolutionarily, whatever. So that's one group. The other group is a SIDS prevention group, and they are vigilant about making sure that sleep is as safe as possible and that you follow the AAP guidelines and anything that you post has to be, you know, backed up by scientific evidence. Okay, either group could be fine. You know, I think that people can be very judgy about choices with parenting. And so I think, you know, it's nice to have sort of a safe space to talk about, you know, if you are bed sharing, which a lot of people do, there's not a lot of places to talk about it because it's very kind of, I don't know, looked down upon, I think. It's a touchy subject. So I think that a lot of women in that group have really found sort of a tribe where they can talk to people about, you know, what they value with their babies, you know. This other group, it's similar. They feel very strongly about making sure that babies are safe and they believe in the ABCs, you know, alone on their back in their crib of sleep and how that helps prevent SIDS. The problem is in execution. And they both have bullies as admins. And it's
As admins. Oh, well, so, that's the root of the problem.
So the SIDS prevention group has these really strict rules. And I get it. If you have a Facebook group that you're running, you can do whatever you want with that group. But it's really extreme in that group. So the admins will delete comments if they don't have any basis in evidence, supposedly, right? So I ended up getting deleted, a comment deleted and then muted because I recommended someone look at taking care of babies because they were asking about sleep training. Uh-huh. And instead of it being deleted and saying we don't support, you know, taking care of babies, the comment I got was like, this is deleted because taking care of babies is garbage. What? And I was like, okay. And then I was looking, you know, through the search function and I realized, like, I searched for, you know, taking care of babies and found why they think she's quote unquote garbage, because she will talk about using Dock-a-Tots or she talks about using the Snoo. That's the next thing. They think the Snoo is garbage. And I'm using garbage because that's the word they use, because they think it's a sleep positioner. So they like lump it in with the same like Dock-a-Tots and everything. And so they delete any mention of a Snoo, any mention of an owlet, any mention of taking care of babies. And then they'll like block people and then they'll start bullying them. Like they'll block them and then start making fun of them in threads. These are like sleep deprived moms, right?
Yeah.
Like there was one woman who she was concerned about her pumping output. Right. And she wanted to know if, you know, it was normal and what she could do to increase it. And I wanted to comment and post this video that Stanford had done about like how to do hands-on pumping, right, which I found really useful. But I couldn't because the mods had shut down comments because they thought she was getting too many similar comments and they didn't think it was helpful. So anyway, I've seen multiple women be bullied off this group. Meanwhile, over in the bed sharing group,
oh, no.
There are all these moms who are being told that the exact opposite is true, right? There was this one mom who was saying that she was at the end of her rope with her 9-month-old, that, you know, she would rock the baby and the baby would just cry and cry and cry. And she was starting to think that, you know, the baby needed his own space. And she was considering, you know, moving the baby into his own crib and maybe doing a sleep training. And were legitimately 350 comments of people basically telling her she was an awful person who was destroying her baby, that baby should not cry, that the baby should not be out of the room. They literally think that babies should be in your bed basically forever, but that babies should not be in their own room for 24 months.
Like, wow. So where are they getting this information?
This is the problem. So this is really the crux of my internet insanity, which is that there's all these little fiefdoms where people sort of get their information, you know, from sources that they trust and believe in, but don't consider anything outside of their realm as valid, right? Mm-hmm. It's, for instance, I searched for Emily Oster's name in this SIDS prevention group, and they called her garbage because in Expecting Better, she said that she couldn't find solid evidence that having the occasional drink caused fetal alcohol syndrome, right? She knows what she's doing in analyzing the evidence. But there's these moderators who think they know better, and they won't let anyone mention her. They won't let anyone post anything about her. And it creates this weird sort of like tunnel vision. And then over in the bed sharing group, it's the same thing. You're not allowed to talk about cry it out methods or sleep training. There are constantly moms who are like, they have like 18-month-old, 20-month-olds, and they're asking like, is it okay if I am considering moving the baby out of my bed? Like, I'm having trouble sleeping, or I really want to reconnect with my husband. When can I move the baby? Like, when is the baby biologically safe to be in their own room? And the comments are like, get a new husband or move your husband out of the room. Wow. Stuff that's really unhelpful.
Sad that there are people who are looking to these moderators and the commenters as, you know, for help and as an authority. And this sounds like bad information. And the shaming that goes along with it.
Not so much mom shaming. And the thing that's really interesting to me is that I'm in both these groups that couldn't be more opposite. And it's the same behavior. You know, it's like you see the same thing just with a different perspective. Mm-hmm. Bullying is bullying. And there's these moms who are just like completely at the end of their rope. And you know how it is when you're sleep deprived with a newborn. If someone tells you something, you can barely process it. So like if you hear from someone like, you know, you're killing your baby if you put the baby in the Snoo, or you hear you're long-term hurting your baby emotionally by putting your baby in a crib, mm-hmm. you know, you're liable to believe them because you don't know what to do.
Yeah.
You're so stuck. So
you're feeling desperate. And I will say I saw some of that with my first. I had joined a breastfeeding group, a huge one on Facebook. I mean, yeah, 60,000 members or something. Mm-hmm. And then I also ended up joining the formula one, a couple formula ones, I think. So I was kind of doing both. And you kind of see that there too. It's like, there are people with their strong opinions on both sides, and people just, I think, want to feel righteous and feel like they're right in what they believe. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, it's bullying is a good way to make people feel good about themselves, which really sucks for everyone else who's just looking for help.
Yeah. I just, you know, in thinking about this, and this is actually keeping me up at night, because I'm just like, I feel so bad for these moms who are getting this bad advice, basically, or, you know, maybe it's even fine advice, but the way it's being delivered is so hurtful, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I found this article by Emily Oster about how we need to give moms the information of why these recommendations are made so that we can make informed decisions about calculating risks. Like, you know, she talks about it in Crib Sheet. She talked about it in our show about, you know, bed sharing, yeah, it's not the most safe, but it might be safer than falling asleep on the couch with your baby because you're so sleep deprived. It might be safer than developing postpartum psychosis because you have had zero sleep. Like, there's people in this SIDS prevention group that are literally giving these moms who, they say, I put my baby in the bassinet, they scream for 3 hours. There's like literally nothing I can do. I need sleep. What the hell can I do? And they just say, well, can you get someone else to watch the baby? Or, you know, they don't give real practical help. Mm-mm. Mm-mm. And the same thing with, you know, I have a 20-month-old who doesn't let me sleep and is still nursing 6 times a night. Like, what can I do? Instead of being like, well, maybe it's time to start looking into, you know, a gentle cry it out or some kind of sleep training or night weaning, they say like, children shouldn't be night weaned until they're 24 months old and all this stuff. And it's just like,
well, there's a lot of groupthink that goes on in these types of groups. And a lot of the moms groups I've been in get that way. And honestly, I don't participate a lot in Facebook groups. I'm in several and I will look at them and like glean advice and do searches and stuff. But sometimes I just feel icky. Like, there's so many people bouncing in immediately to mm-hmm. chime in, all kind of just echoing the same thing. And I don't know. I don't think that's very healthy. I like variety, and people need to take into consideration their own life and their own child. And mm-hmm. yeah, these don't sound helpful at all. And Laura, I think you need to ditch these groups, girl.
Well, now I'm kind of hate following the groups. So I don't know. I mean, it's a mad, 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 mad world, Shauna, out there on the wild internets. But I am glad I have you to talk to as a trusted resource. And all our listeners, we've gotten nothing but great advice from our listeners. So
yes. So thank you.
So thank you. Thank you, listeners, for being our sanity in this world of internet insanity.
Indeed.
If you want to take a break and then get to our BFPs and our BFNs.
I do. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Shauna, think of all the relationships you have in your life. From parents, siblings, your friends, kids, coworkers, even neighbors, there's a lot of human interaction, which we know doesn't always go perfectly.
Oh, you know I don't have a perfect relationship with my next door neighbor, and I can't change her, but I can work on my own reactions to her and how she treats my family.
Absolutely. Strengthening your own coping skills and setting healthy boundaries in any relationship are important, and therapy can be a great place to work on these types of things.
Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma, although, of course, it is helpful in those situations, too.
I've noticed that doing weekly therapy helps me handle the things that cause overwhelm in my life, like constantly balancing kids, work, and self-care.
I love that therapy helps me have insights about myself that I might not have otherwise. It's always great to get an objective take on what I'm going through.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Become your own soulmate, whether you're looking for one or not. Visit BetterHelp.com/BFP today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/BFP. Hey, listeners. This episode is proudly brought to you by L'Olivie, an award-winning hair care line founded by the fabulous Jennifer Aniston. You know, hair so iconic, it needs no introduction.
Okay, imagine this. Jen got tired of the same old struggle we all face, choosing between hair products that work and ones that are actually good for us. With L'Olivie, that dilemma is history.
We all put our hair through the wringer. Coloring, heat styling, stress, the list goes on. Over time, it takes a toll. That's why it's crucial to have products that not only repair the look of the damage, but also shield your locks from future harm.
Enter L'Olivie's bestsellers, the cult classic Glossing Detangler and Perfecting Leave-In Conditioner. These aren't just styling products, they're your hair's new best friends.
And here's a treat for you listeners. For a limited time, you get an exclusive 15% off your entire order at L'Olivie.com. Just use code BFP at checkout. I have been using the Glossing Detangler and Leave-In Conditioner, and I love them. I love how soft and healthy my hair feels after using them.
I love their restorative shampoo and conditioner plus intensive repair treatment. They smell so good, make my shower feel like a spa, and never leave my hair looking or feeling dry.
L'Olivie's products are naturally derived in plant-based goodness. No silicone, sulfates, parabens, or gluten, and of course, cruelty-free and vegan.
Unlock Jennifer Aniston-approved hair at L'Olivie.com. As our loyal listeners, you'll get an exclusive 15% off your entire order when you use code BFP at checkout.
That's 15% off your order at L-O-L-A-V-I-E.com with promo code BFP. Please note, you can only use one promo code per order and discounts can't be combined.
After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that we sent you.
All right, let's wrap things up with our weekly BFPs and BFNs. Laura, what do you have for us this week?
I have a BFP.
Cool.
Which is something that was recommended to me by someone in my Mommy and Me group. So as you know, we started Solid Foods. And one of the reasons we started Solid Foods was because I wanted to get allergens introduced early, right? Nowadays, the whole thing is get that peanut, get that egg, get that wheat into your baby's system as early, you know, between 4 and 6 months to try to make sure you avoid allergies as much as possible, right? Mm-hmm. Now that's what they're saying. What, like 5 years ago, it was like, wait 3 years to get peanuts.
But, right.
So it's not just peanuts, but it's nuts, right? And so I was like, how the hell am I going to expose my baby to like 5 million different types of nuts, you know, before they're 6 months of age? And someone in my Mommy and Me group said their doctor recommended this, which is Trader Joe's mixed nut butter. Do you know about this?
No.
So Trader Joe's has this little jar, and in it is almonds, cashews, walnuts, Brazil nuts, hazelnuts, and pecans, all blended together.
That sounds yummy.
It's delicious.
Yeah.
And it gets, what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 allergens out of the way in one little scoop. So I got that, and I've actually mixed a little bit into his, like, wheat cereal. Or I guess it's like a mixed grain cereal, his whole grain mixed grain cereal, not just wheat for baby. So you got your wheat, you got all those nuts, and you just mix a little bit in because they don't need a lot, right, for the allergens. It's just a few grams. So, and it's tasty. Like, I like it.
Yum. So, I want to try it. I'm going to go get it.
Yeah. So if you have a Trader Joe's near you, get that mixed nut butter.
Mm-hmm.
That's my BFP, short and sweet.
Awesome. I love it.
What do you have for us, a BFP or a BFN?
I have a BFP also. And this is one of those weird things that I never knew I needed. I actually didn't even know existed until I had Cece. And I saw it on my friend's car seat, my friend's baby's car seat, that is. Mm-hmm. And it's these little car seat harness magnets that you clip on to the sides of the car seat. And then they're magnets, and so you can connect the clips up so that the whole harness is open up and you set the baby inside. And you don't have to, like, dig under her body because, like, you've set her on top of all of the harnesses and the clips and everything like that.
Oh, so it keeps the straps out of the way.
Keeps the straps out of the way. So you have a nice, clear bucket seat, set the baby in, take it off the magnet, clip her in, and she's good to go. Because I was, like, I spent a whole lifetime digging underneath babies. Like, you know, they're so squirmy already, and you put them in, they're like, you know, I try to get them out of the way before I put her in, but inevitably they end up under her butt and her back, and I have to, like, dig under, and she's like, eh. And so these is really cool. It's just these, it's like $8 on Amazon. You clip them in and boom, you have a nice open seat to put your baby.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Stick her in that bucket seat.
Yeah. Well, that's it. That's mine. Short and sweet, too.
Look, we're to the point.
Yeah.
With our BFPs.
Maybe that's awesome. What we should call our podcast, To the Point.
To the Point?
I think there already is a podcast called that, or at least an NPR show.
Most likely. Yeah. Let's not change our podcast name quite yet.
Okay.
We'll do a little research. But in the meantime... We love our listeners. We are so grateful for you tuning in every week. If you love our show, we would be really grateful if you told a friend about it and if you left us a rating and a review on iTunes or whatever podcast platform you listen to. You can also find us on all the social medias at BFP Podcast. That's Instagram, Twitter, Facebook at BFP Podcast. We have a Facebook community group also. Just search for Big Fat Positive Community. And we have a website, BigFatPositivePodcast.com.
Big Fat Positive is produced by Shauna Michael, Laura Bierick, and Steve Yeager. Thanks for listening, everyone. See you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Sorry, was that too ranty?
It was ranty, it is what it is. I ranted last week about fucking people waiting for my parking spot. True. I listened to that today. I was like, Shawnee, you need to calm down. But whatever. It's out there, so fuck it.